Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 5th of April 2020. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week for Palm Sunday, our minister in training, Richard Hall, spoke on Palm Sunday, and the reading is Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. We had a virtual communion service as well this week, and that's all included in the audio today. So let's go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
May I welcome you once again to our live stream Sunday service from Minehead Baptist Church. Just to remind you, as you watch this live or you listen on the web or on a CD later, after our blessing there'll be some notices, so please hang around for a few seconds after the service. And can I also remind you that we continue to stream prayers daily at 10 a.m. There will be some information this week about what we'll be live streaming over Easter. We're also going to repeat that at the end of our time together this morning as well. Now, you will have noticed there is no music being broadcast this week. That's because we'll be joining as a church family in a different way this morning. We will be holding an act of communion together. That, together with the other things we've planned, will take up our time. And all you'll need to do is to make sure you've washed your hands thoroughly, and you'll need a slice of bread or some bread of some sort to break and a glass of water. Remember, all who love the Lord are welcome at his table. Age, nothing discriminates against those who can come. So parents, we'll leave it to you to decide whether you include your children in this act or not. If they love the Lord, they are very welcome. Over the last couple of weeks, Lorraine and I have been blessed with several phone calls from people just wanting to make sure we're all right. Thank you. They've been both a source of blessing and a great encouragement too. One phrase that's been used again and again and again by a couple of people is this: things will never be the same again. Of course, they're right. Never will we take meeting together as church as much for granted as we sometimes have done. Yet it's also true to say that things are also as they have ever been. When we celebrate communion in a while, we will rejoice in a Lord who is always the same. In a Father whose nature is, as Luke reminded us yesterday at prayers, to both love and to be love. We'll reflect on a God whose mercy knows no bounds. And this week, as I have reflected on God's mercy and on what is happening throughout the world with COVID-19, I felt it was right, friends, that we start our time of worship together, thanking God for his mercy. His mercy shown in the fact that this virus has come at a time when we have the ability to be able to stream live services and prayers. At a time when the world has the understanding as to how to minimize the spread of the virus. At a time when we can be thinking about and are confident of producing a vaccine in time. No matter where we think this virus has come from, one thing we can be sure throughout the whole of the time it is with us, the whole of the time it affects us, is that God, in his mercy, grace, and love, has not left us bereft, but protected us from this awful thing at times when it would have decimated many more. For me, friends, as I have reflected, I have realized now is the time to come before an awesome God of love and mercy, to remind ourselves of his grace, his mercy, his truth, and his love. So I invite you, wherever you are, to join me in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we acknowledge that you are a God of grace. Only by your grace can we enter your holy presence. Only by your grace can we stand before our living Lord this morning. We come and we gather in ways that we would not have thought possible even a few short weeks ago. But we gather, and whether collectively here in this building, or listening over the internet, or joining together later in a recording, we come and acknowledge you for who you are, for you are awesome God. We acknowledge, God, you are a God of mercy. Your mercy holds fast for all generations. We thank you that even in this midst of the virus that's currently affecting us, your mercy runs true. It is your property, Lord, to have mercy, and that is as true today as it's ever been. We do not know why some are dying and others are not. But we hold fast to your mercy as a source of comfort and hope. I, friends, invite you where you are in these next few seconds, in your own words, in your own way, to pray for his mercy at this time. We acknowledge you are merciful God. We acknowledge you are a God of truth. Scripture reminds us that you never lie to us. That even when we face tough times, you are truthful about the reality of the situation. Yet Scripture also reminds us that you are truthful when you say to the world that you gave your only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. We acknowledge that gift before you this morning, confessing of our own sin and our own unworthiness, but acknowledging that you, through him, have made us worthy of life eternal. You are an amazing God. We acknowledge you are a God of love. Love permeates all you do. And you long for all to see you for who you truly are. To come to you, to start a relationship with you, built on the love that you show each one of us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son. You reach out to all this morning, to all of us, and you long to wrap your arms of love around us. We have been reminded in prayer that you love and you love and you love this week. And so we acknowledge that you are loving God. Father, we ask that you would take our prayers, the prayers from our hearts, and that this morning they may be an act of worship to you. You who are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now our own resident Pied Piper has been working even harder this week with what I think is a wonderful illustration. Mark, over to you.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're sitting comfortably and just thinking about what do you really enjoy doing? What activity is probably your favourite thing to do? Got something in your head? Well, for me, one of my favourite things is table tennis. Got my table tennis bat, got my table tennis ball. I love it on a Tuesday night when I go and help the lads practice and we play in our leagues and we do a lot of table tennis. We have a laugh, we get sweaty, we learn new tricks and we just have a lot of fun. But can you imagine what would happen if someone took that away? What would imagine if someone said, all right, you can't play table tennis anymore, Mark. You can't go to dance club anymore. You can't do ballet. You can't do football. How would you think? One day they make a law that says no more fun activities. I wonder how you'd feel about that. I know how I'd feel. No more table tennis? Oh my goodness. How would life continue? And then imagine. Not only that, but you go out to work and they pay you £1 a day. And then they put high taxes and they take 60 pence of that pound away. So not only can you not play table tennis, not only are you working all day, but you're now poor and in debt. I wonder how you'd feel about that. Well, in Jesus' day, that's exactly what the Jewish people were like. Not sure if they played table tennis back then, but I can imagine the Egyptians and the Jewish people having a little bit of intercontinental table tennis. What a lot of fun that would be. But no, the Romans were in charge. They took away all their freedoms, they made them work, and they put up high taxes. And then imagine the excitement when one day Jesus rides in on a donkey into Jerusalem. And his followers are shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." How would you feel then? Party time. Need a hat? I hope this is 3D. You need streamers. Neely, try it again. Not bad. I hope that hit you just in the head. All right? It would be party time. Okay, finally the Messiah has come. Finally they're going to be set free from the Romans. But no, the people got it wrong. They got it wrong about Jesus. They thought Jesus was going to come and create a revolution that would free them from tyranny. But Jesus didn't come to set the Jewish people free from Roman occupation. He came to bring an altogether different and better kind of freedom. Jesus came to set people's lives free from the power of sin. And he did that by surrendering and dying a cruel death on Good Friday. By dying and rising again, Jesus offers to every single person freedom. If we come to him and put our trust in him, he gives to us freedom from guilt, freedom from judgment, and freedom to live the way God intended us to. It is party time, because Jesus has set us free. Now, when I said imagine what it's like not to be able to play table tennis or go to ballet, we're actually in those times now. It must be really hard sitting there knowing you can't play with your friends, you can't go and join in on those activities. It's a tough time. But think of the freedom you've been given. There's other ways to connect with people. I've said it every time I've stood in front of this microphone. Right? Zoom is a great way to connect with people. Let's have party time with the people who matter. And let's have party time with the God who sent his son to save us. Have a really good week, everyone. Right? Stay safe. All right, we'll see you on the other side. But remember, one time this week, read your Bibles, pray to the Lord, and have a party. Amen.
Good morning. We are in Palm Sunday, And today we're not looking, as advertised, at Jesus anointed in glory. I'm not quite sure how that got snuck onto the notice sheet, but if you want to hear my thoughts on that, you can find it from 3 weeks ago on the website. Instead, we're looking in the book of Matthew, at Matthew's account of Palm Sunday in chapter 21. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we can gather like this. And we pray that you would speak through me now. Amen. So we may not this year have palm crosses. Well, I didn't find out, do we give out palm crosses? No. It's my own church, yes. So some of you will know what I'm talking about. But we don't have palm crosses. For me, that feels a bit odd on Palm Sunday. But it does feel right that we continue on with this momentous moment. So when, as the heading in my Bible says, Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. So now let's read together. Up to verse 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." We start this story with a moment in the Gospels that I think shows Jesus' certainty for what is to come laid bare. Two of the disciples are sent off to retrieve a donkey and a colt. And Jesus knows that they will receive it. And they're also not told to ask nicely and politely. Instead, they are commanded simply to tell anyone who wants to know what they are doing that the Lord needs them. And it amazingly seems to work. I don't know about you, but if someone came up to me and asked to borrow my car because the Lord needed it, I might be a bit suspicious. And yet this seems to work for Jesus. I wouldn't necessarily recommend him trying it unless you're the Son of God, but we can give it a shot. We are all probably familiar with the concept that if we act as if we know what we're doing, no one stops us. Fake it until you make it. And because Jesus imparted that confidence in his disciples, they appeared to have carried it off. I'm not suggesting for a minute that the disciples were faking it, but there is an element of needing that confidence that things will work out as Jesus says they will. The disciples went and did as Jesus has commanded them. Do we have that confidence? Do we approach our faith in the same way, or are we slightly apologetic? about things? Do we say, this is what we believe, or do we mumble, this is what we believe? But don't worry, you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. We are approaching Easter, the greatest victory of all. Should we not be shouting it from the rooftops, while, of course, remaining socially distant? But that Jesus Christ is Lord and has come to die for you and me. Jesus had a certainty. He was steeped in the prophets and the law. And he knew that he had come to fulfill the prophecies in the Old Testament. In verse 5, Matthew draws attention to this, quoting from the book of Zechariah, which I will admit I had to look up where it was and check the contents page. And turns out about two books away from Matthew at the end of the Old Testament. But Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, is what is quoted here in verse 5. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt the foal of a donkey. So Zechariah is talking of a triumphant king who will enter Jerusalem. This event then can be seen as Jesus' proclamation that he is the long-awaited Messiah, announcing to the world who he is. And he would do it not on a chariot at the head of a conquering army, but riding on a young donkey. This then is a different king, one who has won victory, not through force of arms, but through his own humility on the cross. The day that Jesus chose to enter Jerusalem holds a special significance in the Jewish calendar. It was 4 days before Passover, and this was the day on which the lamb that was to be sacrificed was to be separated. This is one of those things that just makes me amazed. We have a man who, when John the Baptist saw him, declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Hint, hint. We know, we are quite familiar with Jesus as the Lamb. And yet it was not always that obvious to his disciples and followers. But the sacrificial lamb had come to set himself apart, ready for his sacrifice. During the time we now know as Holy Week, Jesus went on to perform several symbolic acts. He cleanses the temple of the moneylenders and curses the fig tree, one of those strange stories that I'm sure there are many, many books written about. But both signs of his authority. Yet this authority is seen through his love and meekness, knowing that he could save himself and yet not doing so for the sake of us. The way that Jesus is seen here shows the nature of his rule. On the lowest of animals, one kept by the most common of men, this is a king who will be approachable by all. The poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich, this is the person we are invited to know. Now, it has to be said, the whole thing feels like it has a slightly ramshackle feeling to it. The disciples didn't have anything like a saddle, so they piled their cloaks on the donkey's back to create one for them, for him, happy to dirty their cloaks for their master and lord, happy to give everything for Christ. And how should we welcome Christ? we see one approach here from the people of Jerusalem. They lay their cloaks on the ground for Jesus to ride over and cut what are in Matthew called branches, but in John described as being cut from palm trees, hence Palm Sunday. And as I've said, we may not have palm crosses, although I learn you did not usually. But there is something amazing how 2,000 years later, we still associate this day with this one branch. I don't know about you, but it has become something of a challenge sometimes to work what day it is. I know today is Sunday because I'm standing here doing this. But the rest of the week can become a bit of a challenge at points. And it can feel that at points the world has come to something of a stop. But it hasn't. We still gather together and join together. Oh no, we don't gather. That would be wrong. We join together through this new way of doing church. And as Paul said, we will shortly join in communion, where we will continue a practice that has been carried out for thousands of years. We have a God who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We meet still together all this time later, because we believe that, and we believe that God is still working in our world. He will not abandon us, the evidence of which we see in the sending of his son Jesus. Even if at points it was things such as riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, perched on his friend's clothes. And the work of the church does not stop. Even as we have been unable to gather, it has been uplifting to hear the stories of how the part of the wider church known as Minehead Baptist Church has drawn together and risen to the challenges we are facing. Whether it is ringing people to check up on them, and as Paul said, even the ministers are not immune from these calls, to those who have volunteered to collect shopping for those who can't, and all those other acts that I have no doubt are going on, but that I don't see, and we may never hear about. This is the continuation of the church. Some of you may have seen posts on Facebook that in essence boil down to, the church is not a building, but the people and their actions are. And of course, the Spirit. I feel like I'll get some angry emails if I don't mention God somewhere in there. We may pay lip service to this idea in more normal times. Now, though, we have a fantastic chance, an opportunity to put it into practice. And perhaps it will change how we see church in the future. Straight, me and Paul, we didn't discuss what we were each going to say this morning. But we seem to have made some similar points somewhere in the. But what will church look like? Who knows? Is probably the short answer. Palm leaves were a symbol of victory. And so it is appropriate that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on a carpet of them. And what a welcome he received. The crowd shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." They raised such a noise that the whole city was stirred. Now, I have never been to a football match, but I've been near stadiums I'm getting some shaking heads from my colleagues over there. But the noise is quite something. A couple of thousand people, quite a noise. Imagine what a couple of thousand people cheering on the parade in Minehead would be like. I don't know if the whole town would hear. Maybe we can try it when things have calmed down a bit. But there's something big happening, a momentous event, especially when you consider that even at the lowest estimate, Jerusalem was several times the size of Minehead. Entering a city had strong connotations in ancient culture. The conqueror of Judah for the Romans, the general Pompey the Great, spent years outside Rome waiting to be allowed to hold a triumph. If you want to picture a triumph, if you've ever seen Gladiator, there is a big one in that where the emperor rides in, being cheered by the adoring citizens, marching his spoils of war through the streets of Rome and receiving the adoration of the crowds. And yet Jesus chose to make his victorious entry in a very different manner. But the people still welcomed him. Well, mostly, anyway. They demonstrated their welcome by their actions. And yet still they called him Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So if this was the welcome that Jesus received, being seen only as a prophet, think what that welcome would be like if they'd known he was the Son of God and the Messiah. So do we welcome Jesus in the same way the crowds did in Jerusalem? Do we make known Jesus in such a way that the whole town or city hears about it? Are we willing to give up what we have to follow Jesus? Many of Jesus' disciples made the ultimate sacrifice in the years to follow, being killed for their conviction. We do not really face that level of persecution in Britain. But in Jesus, we have a God who is willing to give it all so that we might live. And there are still people today who die for their faith. We are spending this time of separation thinking about different ways of being church. I've lost count of the number of different ways I've seen people live streaming or streaming church services. But the work of God is not finished. And through this church, we have much more to do. For we know that the Lord is with us. And that is my prayer for today, that we might know that God is with us and has more for us still to do. Amen.
This morning, friends, we celebrate communion together. We celebrate whether we're at home isolating or with our family. No matter where we are this morning, we celebrate as church family together. Normally, we would all share in communion wine, but this morning, that is not possible. You should have now all washed your hands. I've just washed mine and used some sanitizing gel. We have bread and water. In the Old Testament, a covenant with God is sealed when a sacrificial lamb is killed, its blood spilt, the body broken in two and separated, and both parties to the covenant walk through the broken body. In the New Testament, that covenant is sealed for the whole of humanity for all time as Jesus died on the cross. In a while, we'll break bread to signify this body broken for us all. At its heart, communion is an act of remembrance, where the most important thing we do is undertake to remember all that Jesus did for us. It's important because that is what he commanded us to do. And as Richard said, we can no longer mumble to those who need to hear about what we might believe. But at this time and in this nation, we have rather, if we want the world to hear who Jesus is this Easter, shout it from the rooftops. As we remember him this morning, he asks us to tell others who he is. You also have some water. Water that reminds us that Jesus himself is the water of life itself, that he gave his life for you. That this voluntary giving of his life sealed the covenant made with God for you. Scripture reminds us of these facts. John chapter 7 reminds us that Jesus is the water of life. Verse 37 says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.'" And water itself reminds us of the blood of Jesus spilt on the cross. John 19 records that momentous time on the cross. From verse 31. "Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers, therefore, came and broke the legs of the first man who'd been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus, they found that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. Come to this table then, friends, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come, not because of any goodness of your own that gives you a right to come, but come because you love the Lord a little and would love to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ. For as we gather, virtually or physically, we are his body." Let's pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We give you thanks for this bread and this water, symbols of our world, signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, formed into his body. This we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. So friends, I invite you to pick up your piece of bread. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me."
break your bread, friend, and take a bit and eat. Take and remember that Jesus Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts with thanksgiving. Amen. You also have a cup of water. This morning we come to the one who is the water of life, who gave his life for every single one of us. His lifeblood was given to seal the covenant of grace with his Father, that in believing in him we all may receive the Holy Spirit. So as we drink, we remember that Christ's blood was shed for us, for you. That the one who is the water of life gave his earthly life for you. And we are thankful. We drink, friends, to remember. Amen. In the silence, I invite you to come before your Lord. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and you brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. May we who drink his cup remember in the life, the one who calls himself the water of life, bring life to others. We whom the Spirit's lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you've set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. We pray they would hear your call of peace and love and grace and truth. That at this time, when things are so uncertain, the world may turn to the one who is certain, and that we may all, when this virus is through, come together and praise your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. There are a few notices to finish our time together. Many of you will have received the notice sheet electronically, or you'll receive it with the CD copy of this recording. The notices are as per that sheet. You'll see on there that the Easter services are listed. We will have we're streaming live at 10 o'clock on Thursday, a reflection, Peter's reflection, we might call it, for Maundy Thursday, to let us join in with what went on for him on that day. On Good Friday, Richard will lead us in a service when we remember the cross and the reality of that cross. On Easter Saturday, if we can call it that, there'll be prayers, which will deal with the uncertainty of the disciples as they journeyed from Good Friday to Easter Sunday. And in a way, we who live in a world that is not certain journey with them this Easter. Please join us for prayers then. And then next Sunday, we will have a service declaring, maybe like no other before, that he is risen. Friends, you'd be welcome to join us for as many or all of them if you can. Then just to let you know that I know, having been on the Churches Together in England website this week, that they're truly encouraged by the number of people that are joining with them at 7 o'clock every Sunday evening to either light a candle or to pray for the nation. The Baptist Union also are streaming live prayers from their website every Sunday evening at 7. If you want that link, please drop me an email and I'll let you have that link. Or you can follow the Baptist Union's website, www.baptist.org, and you'll see the links there. Secondly, lastly, just to let you know, Spring Harvest, which would normally obviously take place in Minehead each year, are going to launch Spring Harvest Home. It will be held literally with us all across the nation, watching Spring Harvest. This year it's being done via YouTube and it's free. So if you'd want to be part of that and want any more information about how you may get on to watch all the events of Spring Harvest 3 via YouTube, can you let me know, or indeed drop Margaret an email in the office and we'll send you the information we have, which will enable you to join in the church national as we look at Spring Harvest a different way this year. And their theme for this year is Unleashed the Church, the Acts Church Today. Friends, I pray, my prayer, is that this way of doing church may, by the grace of God and to his glory, be the start of unleashing the church in our nation. Don't forget to join us for prayers every day at 10 o'clock, and we really look forward to worshipping with you in this coming week. Have a great day.
Well, thank you once again for listening, and a reminder that details of our Easter live streams are on minehead-baptist.com, and you can also find out more about Spring Harvest at Home on our website as well. So thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.